Hello there. Thank you for listening to this. On Sunday, the 15th of October, we gathered to celebrate the feast, our 13th birthday, and we were having such a good time that we didn't quite get to press record on the sermon. But this was a message I really wanted to make available to those who'd been helping with children's work and youth work, to those that weren't able to be with us. So I've had a go at recording it again, and here it is. It won't quite have the live in the room feel, but hopefully you'll get a sense of what I feel God's calling us to as we look to this coming year. And the first place I want to start with this is a little bit of reminiscence about Friday nights in my house as I was growing up. Growing up in my house, Fridays were always really exciting. For about 2 decades or more, my parents ran junior youth group. They would gather on a Friday with some other friends to help them to invest in young people. Setting up tuck shop, doing sketches, talks, prayer experiments, anything to get young people thinking. They weren't professionals, they had jobs and roles, they were just willing. When I was young, that meant Fridays for me and my brothers were overseen by Auntie Gladys. She was not one of those real aunts, but one of those people that was important enough to our family to have that title. She took time to get to know us and pray for us. She ate with us. She played games with us. We shared her story. She shared ours. Her death was one of the earliest experiences I can remember of loss. While my parents were out investing in junior youth group, she was investing in us. Occasionally, the youth group would come to ours for tramp supper or bonfires or barbecues, and I'd get to enjoy them. When I was a little older, I went along with my parents and joined at the church. We climbed over the pews, we smashed the light bulbs with balls, we hid under the altar, we had a brilliant time. My brothers and I became among the youth group's most active recruiters, dragging our friends along to evenings of sardines and wide games and tuck and Bible teaching. It was always between about 20 and 30, 10 to 13 year olds, and I've no idea how many hundreds of young people my parents invested in over that time. When I was too old for the group itself, I took a little break and then came back as a helper, learning how to lead games and relate to people a little bit younger than me myself. I loved Friday nights. It was a different time, a different era, but I think it was one of a few things in my life that made faith sticky enough to stay with me through tough times. Gave me a hunger for communion, community and connection. My life as a child, a teenager and a young adult were filled with intergenerational relationships. With parent types who weren't my parents, grandparent types, peers and people just a little bit older and a bit younger. That web was one of the main reasons why, despite my many mistakes and disappointments, I remained a follower of Jesus. It's also one of the reasons I long to see us create ways for connection and friendship to form among us. We seem to live in such a fearful, disconnected, fragmented, isolated time. In 2022, 49% of adults in the UK reported feeling lonely, occasionally, sometimes, often, or always. And 7%, that's 3.83 million, said they experience chronic loneliness. That means they feel lonely often or always. Now, that number has risen from 6% in 2020 and indicates that this is not just a pandemic COVID thing. Actually, it's a culture thing that seems to be getting worse. So I was sharing this with some of our leadership team last Tuesday. One person told me that a recent report from The Star, the headline was The Rise and Rise of Billy Nomates, said that on average, we have 3.7 friends and that 1 in 10 people have none. What a sad inhibitor to a life of blessing and fulfillment to find that you're without anyone to talk to, without anyone you could call a friend. If you've been around at Central Gatherings, you'll have heard me use the liturgy of God at creation. As he looks out each day on the things he has made, he says, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's very good. But what's the only not good in creation? It's not good for people to be alone. Now, what if this was our big invitation this year, as we follow God and work with him, to pursue friendship, to pursue connection, to make friends? There are just over 100 adults in Kairos and another 40 to 50 young people. What if that meant somehow this year at least 150 people got a new friend? That's the vision for us as we look to 23 and beyond. Friendship. Let's make friends. After all, we are a network church. And wouldn't it be funny if being a network church meant we just learn how to be better at relationship? Now, there's some really good news for us and our lonely neighbours and colleagues and our efforts to make friends. It's that God is the great connector. God, we're told in Psalm 68, verse 6, sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. And Paul takes this even further. This is Colossians 1, 15 to 20 from the Message. We look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at the sun and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment. When it comes to the church, he organises and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning, and leading the resurrection parade, he's supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so expansive, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fitted together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood poured down from the cross. How amazing is that? All the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people, things, animals, atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies because of Jesus' death. Where entropy and polarization and ideology and technology and wealth and poverty drive us apart, God draws together. God connects through Jesus. And so this is why Jesus calls his followers to friendship. At the Last Supper, as he's eating with his disciples, he says to them, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I call you friends. When asked the greatest commandment, seemingly more than once, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Seems like friendship, love, connection is incredibly important to God and something God invites us to offer as we practice it. So what might it look like this year to grow in friendship with God? Perhaps you will find a way to chat with him, to learn from his story in the Bible, to pursue that sense of God with you, alongside you, at work, at worship, at rest, to be the friend you need to get through things somehow. What would it look like to invest in friendship with God this year? And then how could we be a place that helps friendships develop? As I said, 150 or so of us. It's getting to the point where we can't all know each other and all of our stories, but we can all know some of us. How could we build friendship between us, between children and adults and grandparents and generations in our communities, across our communities? I love this quote from Tish Harrison Warren in her book, Liturgy of the Ordinary. She says this, Christian friendships are call and response friendships. We tell each other over and over, back and forth, the truth of who we are and who God is. Who are your kind of friends who tell you over and over the truth of who you are and who God is? Can you spot people who need that kind of friend? Could that kind of friend be you? On our front lines, in our neighbourhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools and communities, how can we make friends? It takes curiosity and interest, doesn't it? And care. And most of all, time. You might need to change or rearrange some patterns to make space for friendship. But the good news is you're already in places where there'll be people looking out for friends. What would it take this year to even be someone's 0.7 of a friend, to add to their average, to make someone else on their front line feel better connected because you're there? I suspect as we explore this and give ourselves to becoming better at making friends, we will find ourselves becoming more the network of love and friendship and generosity that God has made us to be. And I suspect as well, we'll find that as we invest in friendship, we'll build our kind of relational resilience, our strength to cope with whatever the challenges and changes of our current moment will throw at us. Because we know life's not necessarily going to be easy this year. We know things are scary and tough, but we also know we get to walk through it together with God, with each other. And probably even the busiest of us, with lives full of whatever we fill our lives with, could look to make one or two new friends and connect them with others this year. Incidentally, that's why we do so many of the getting people together type things, the fun mornings, the toddler groups, the messy church, the forest church, games nights, alphas, communities. We want to provide context for people to build friendships with each other and with God. Which leads me on to a last kind of area which I'd love us to invest in friendship. I'd love to see us getting better connected with the people of a generation different to us, to lean in particularly to investing in friendship with the next generation. Did you know that the most likely group to find themselves lonely are those aged 16 to 23? That really surprised and deeply saddened me. Just as you're going through all the bewildering changes of late teens and early 20s, to find yourself lonely and without friends. Did you know that in 2020, a YouGov poll said that 69% of 13 to 19 year olds said they felt alone often or sometimes within the last fortnight, and 59% feel they have no one to talk to often or sometimes. No, I know that was in lockdown, but remember what I said at the start, these loneliness stats don't look like they're getting any better since then. What if we could do something about that? With our friendship with God and our friendships with each other, we've got so much we could invest, make use of, to help young people feel less alone and more able to meet God. Psalm 145 says that one of the signs of God's goodness being known will be that one generation will tell your works to the other. Could we be that generation that declares God's good works to the next? Could we invest in friendships where each of us gets to do just that. As a church, we have been. We've been laying a foundation of faith with children and families, and we'll continue to do that. We've had awesome youth and children's volunteers creating space for friendships to develop. It's been so successful that we've got more young people than we have space for, actually. So one of the things we want to explore is redeveloping the west end of the hall. You know, the nasty bit with a don't go in here sign. It does need some quite urgent attention, actually, so that we can make space for another young people's group. We also need time and energy. People who can give a couple of hours a week to a fun group with amazing teenagers in church, or with Catherine Burridge in new places as she sets up the Pioneer Youth Work Team. We may well need to free up some time. One of the things we're thinking about very seriously is whether we can create a second role, a youth leader paid role, to go alongside our children's leader one. So we have two people with time freed up to help us build friendship with the next generation. Now, to do that would cost us around £15,000 to £20,000 that we don't yet have. So it would take a rise in income and in giving, which is why this year I'm asking us again to consider the part we play. Could you help us develop better connections, particularly with the next generation? Could you pray for young people in our church? Could you serve with time or energy as a mentor to one of our young people? As a tuck shop runner at Blaze, as part of our youth or children or toddlers teams? I know some of us won't have much time to give, or may need to rethink how bits of life works in order to do that. But I know some of us could. And could you give, maybe as a one-off, maybe regularly, in order to help us raise income so that we might be better able to invest? We don't know fully what the definite kind of answer will be. We'd love to be able to invest more. We want to see what, as a church, our response to this call will be, and then make some decisions. So linked to the places where you will find this talk is our giving leaflet for this year. Could you take a look at it, and a read and a pray, and consider what your part might be in building better relationships amongst us, and particularly in investing in relationships in the next generation? And could you return your response by November the 5th, so that our leadership teams have time to plan and strategize and budget well? And if you have particular thoughts about ways in which we might better invest in the next generation, could you let me know and share your ideas and dreams with us? And all of us, this year, most of all, could we build better connections, develop relationships between people like you and people different to you, sharing with others who we are and who God is, right in the places where we find ourselves? I'm going to finish with a short prayer of blessing written by John O'Donohue. May you be blessed with good friends. May you learn to be a good friend yourself. May you be able to journey to that place in your soul where there is great love, warmth, feeling and forgiveness. May this change you. May it transfigure that which is negative, distant, or cold in you. May you be brought to the real passion, kinship and affinity of belonging. May you treasure your friends. May you be good to them, and may you be there for them. May they bring you all the blessing, challenges, truth and light you need for your journey. May you never be isolated. May you always be in the gentle nest of belonging.